And would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, many of us have read that psalm throughout our lives. We've heard over and over again about your care and your provision, and yet we sit here today hurt, disappointed, disillusioned, because you haven't given the care that we expected. You've allowed things to happen we don't understand, and even on Mother's Day, sometimes our hearts are crushed with dreams of what could have been and wasn't. And we have a hard time hearing that you're a refuge. Lord, give us new ears to hear that today. Help us to understand the kind of care you did promise, and may we realign ourselves in trust, putting our arms around you and holding on in ways that perhaps we haven't been able to up to now. We look forward to you working now in these next few moments, where we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we've taken time to honor those special women who gave us life. We do so because God honors them. Those people who cared for us during our long years of dependence and helplessness. Mothers help us understand what Jesus meant and why he would have chosen the image of a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings to describe the care that he would offer those who trust him. Jesus taught that God is a parent, and that was new in that time. A God is a parent who deeply loves us, his children, and will do anything and everything to provide us with what I'm calling today cradle to the grave care. One verse my dad galvanized into my brain when I was a child, it took our family through many difficult years, was from the Psalms. It's at the top of your bulletin. I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. As I preach this message today, I want to ask, I wonder if we really believe or even understand the depth of God's concern for our needs, for your needs today, for your fears, your hopes, your dreams. I want us to study what the Bible teaches and what it doesn't teach about the care God offers those of us who trust him. A first truth about God's care. All over the Bible, particularly in this scripture, because God is our refuge and strength, we don't have to face life all alone. That's one of the real reasons we've gathered here together. We're creatures made by God, made to depend on him, and somehow written on our souls is that need, and we come here and reaffirm it week after week. The Bible tells us God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The psalmist writes, and I love this in Psalm 139. O Lord, you know when I sit and when I rise. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that the God who created you, even when you, before you were conceived, designed a plan for your life, and he knows when you get up and he knows when you go to bed, if you take an airplane and go to the farthest reaches of the earth, he knows you're there? Do you really understand God has that kind of personal concern about you? The Bible says God has crafted a unique plan for each of our lives, and he's intimately involved in the execution of that plan. Now here is the catch, and why some of us have a hard time even hearing sermons on God's care. You see, the Bible says God has crafted his plan for our life, not ours. Faith means that we come to that point of trusting that God's plan for us is best, even in those times when we're tempted to ask, God, are you still there? Do you know what's happening to me? And do you even care? It seems that most of us have a lifelong struggle between trying to adjust ourselves to the fact that God has a plan for our life and yet struggle with the fact that we have a plan for our life, and sometimes those two don't agree. Frequently, I struggle with God, and I have a relationship with him that frees me to accuse him of being unfair, incredibly slow, and seemingly unconcerned about my needs. And I know God can handle that. He's given me that kind of freedom. But I've made two discoveries this stage in my life that I want to share today that might help us cope with the struggle, if you're having one, with this idea that God loves me, but he still doesn't give me what I want. And that's two things. I've learned I can't control God. I can't force him to meet my expectations, fulfill my dreams, or follow my solutions to what I consider to be my needs. I'm not in the driver's seat. God alone is God, and it's his plan he's executing for my life, not mine, and I don't have to understand it. I just have to trust him. If I could have learned that at age 15, I would have saved myself a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this Christian journey. A second discovery. God never promised he would give me or anyone who follows Jesus a life of uninterrupted happiness. Jesus never said, come to me and everything's going to be okay. Remember what he did say, come to me, pick up a cross and follow me. And a cross is something you die on. And somehow in our evangelical Christianity, we haven't preached much of that. God doesn't exist to fulfill my dreams as a kind of reward for my decision to follow Jesus. Finding God as a refuge and a strength, then, in times of crisis, involves a choice. And this is what I want to hold in front of you today. Will we submit ourselves to God and still believe he has a plan for us, even if it means that every one of our dreams are smashed? Now that's tough. That's sort of like Job saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's biblical faith. Secondly, will we attempt to manipulate God to submit to our plans, and is that the whole goal of our Christian faith? And will we demand that God explain to us his reasons for making our life so unfair, saying, God, if you don't explain, if you don't come through, I'm going to bail out of this thing. I think those are the two real issues in the church today regarding finding God's comfort and help as a refuge and strength. Thousands of people are outside of the church today because some pastor made them a promise, come to Jesus and it'll be all right, and it wasn't all right, and they're disillusioned and they left. The only thing I can promise you today is that God said, I have a plan for your life, and I'll be with you as I execute that plan. It's my plan, it's not yours, and sometimes you're going to have to hold on to me blind, just tight, trusting me, even though nothing makes sense. That's a biblical faith. Diana came to my office with pain carved all over her face. 2 years ago, her lovely college-age daughter was returning from a dance with friends, and suddenly an aneurysm burst in her brain and she never regained consciousness. For 2 years, this mother, who became a single mother during this time, cared for her unconscious daughter at home, 24 hours a day. She came to me that day to find help in making the decision she had to make to terminate life support systems for her daughter. And with indescribable sorrow in her voice, she asked, why did God allow this to happen? This wasn't part of my dream for my daughter's life. And then, as though not expecting an answer, she told how, and this really moved me, she told how she knew, if she knew at birth, her daughter would only live 19 years. The joy she had in those years, even in these last two, would have made her daughter's life worth all of the pain and all of the loss. What was amazing? Diana was here, and her faith in God as a refuge and strength was still intact, still supporting her, even though God had allowed things to happen that didn't make any sense. And even though there didn't seem to be anything in her life that day that was very fair, God was still her refuge and strength, her explanation for the only way she said, I could have gotten through these last 2 years. That's biblical faith. Honest faith in God is a decision to trust him without explanations as to why. And you know, I covet that kind of faith for myself and for each one of you. God never promises protection from life's burden. This is what he promises. He promises to meet us in the midst of our storms, because awful things happen to Christians, and the difference between us and those who are not followers of Jesus is that God gives us his presence to come alongside in the midst of the storm. And we discover then that he's a refuge and a source of strength by which we make it through the night. And why? because Christians have the confident joy that in the morning, joy will come after there's been weeping all night. That's sort of the Good Friday mentality, where it looks like it's all over with a deeper assurance Easter morning is coming. And I want to hold that out to you today who are heavily burdened and your dreams are smashed and you don't see any hope. God is with you even if you can't feel Him. He's holding you and He's executing His plan for your life. That's what it means to be a refuge and a strength. And He will not and doesn't owe you an explanation as to why. A second truth about God's care: trusting God's personal involvement in our lives should free us from fear. Our text says, "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. There's much to fear in today's world if you're plugged in at all. If I didn't believe God was in control of what's happening in these days, I could be filled with fear. Ethnic warfare that seems as intolerable as the Holocaust of World War II happening right now. North Korea with a possible nuclear bomb. Waco, Texas. Iraq attempting to assassinate our former president. Russia seemingly unable to recover from the mire of communist years. Violence and hatred in our own cities. And, yes, despair and pain and fear in your own lives as I look over your faces today. But you see, the fact is, we Christians know our God is in control of history. He's a God of the impossible. He's in control of what's happening globally and personally. That's hard to believe, but if He created it all, why can't He control it? And I want to tell you today, no matter how bleak the outlook, God has plans for your life and for this world, and the gates of hell won't prevail against those plans. We Christians know the last chapter, and therefore we can be optimists, and we're those people, that new breed of humanity that lives with joy even in the darkest times, because we know something people without faith don't know. God has a plan. Therefore, we don't have to fear. I was watching a documentary on the 9.2 earthquake that hit Alaska years ago. 9.2, now that's a big one. That one was so severe that it literally caused mountains to crash into the sea. When earthquakes of this magnitude shake our personal worlds, and they do, just last Monday we lost one of our people, Mark Game, and that was an earthquake of 9.2 variety. There's no reason why he should have been taken. Our hearts are broken. But when earthquakes like that come, the Bible says we have a God who doesn't explain it, but who stands by us, and therefore we don't have to be afraid. Listen to the promise from Isaiah the prophet. Have you ever read this? You ought to memorize it. "Listen to me, you whom I've upheld since you were conceived, and carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I'll sustain you and I'll rescue you." You know, I was looking at a little 3-day-old baby back there and how the mother and father have it all nestled in a little carrier, and it's protected and it's carried and it's helpless and it's totally dependent and couldn't live a day without them. And you know, we're in that same position for a lifetime with our God, but He's that parent who says, "I'm there even when you don't feel me. I'm caring for you. I love you. I'm watching." The Bible says our God is so powerful, He created the heavens and the earth, and yet so personal, a sparrow can't fall without His knowledge. I don't understand that, but I believe it. If this God we call Father claims He's taking care of us, shouldn't that knowledge take away our fear, no matter what earthquake might be shaking in your life right now? I hope that's the message God will get across to you today. In the last part of the psalm we read, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That image is an important one. A river running into a city under siege is good news, because people can withstand a siege indefinitely if they have water. The psalmist assures us that God himself is our river today, flowing to our aid when we're besieged by trouble. And if that trouble goes on and on and on, as it does in some of your lives, one of our guys on Saturday morning had been unemployed 3 years, the river keeps flowing. And that's good news, and that should take away our fear. Last week, on a lighter side, we flew from Honolulu to Maui in a small aircraft that, in my opinion, should have been in a museum. It was it's sort of like the one back in Washington where they have all those aircraft as part of history, and I wanted to hang it there. Anyway, I confess, and you know this, I'm a coward when it comes to flying in small airplanes. I do okay in jets, but I'm not necessarily a traveler. Anyway, God must have known this, and I come up there to the counter, and my first clue that I was in somewhat trouble was that the woman at the counter said, "You know, this is the safest aircraft in the world that you're going to be flying." And I wondered why she needed to say it, because then she proceeded to request my weight. Does anybody ever ask you your weight before you get on an airplane? I flew on a 747. Nobody cared how much I weighed, but she did. And she wrote it down, you know, and I looked around some of the people flying with us, and they weren't quite as light as I was. And then I realized that this woman had real concerns about that plane getting off the ground. And then next, to try to comfort me, because I was a little pale by then, she told me that I could watch for whales during the flight. And that told me this plane wasn't going to be very far off the water. This is all serious. I'm not exaggerating anything. Well, we started rumbling down the runway for our 100-mile flight over open ocean in the safest plane in the world, and it had a crack in the ceiling, and it had a crack where the door closed so big I could look out. And I don't mind looking out through a porthole, but I really object to looking out through the door. My most comforting thoughts were that both pilots were not suicidal, and they seemed to be very happy that day and didn't seem to have any fear. 40 minutes later, after seeing headlines in my mind, "God allows minister to crash in the beautiful waters of Hawaii," we arrived safely, I'm happy to say. And I will never fly in that plane again. Anyway, we climbed out of the airplane, and here's the crux of the story. I asked my wife, because she was sitting up in front, this is only tiny, 18 people. I asked her how she liked the flight. She said, "You know, Walt, I just loved it." And then I felt, coward that I am. I really am a coward. My wife didn't have the slightest fear. She enjoyed the entire flight. And if I hadn't had fear, I could have enjoyed that flight. I could have looked for whales. I didn't have to sit white-knuckled for the whole 40 minutes, no matter how much the wind buffeted the plane. And it occurred to me, a vital truth, that my God is much more trustworthy than that airplane. And he's told me to trust him. If I could have been assured in that plane, miraculously, in advance, that I knew we were going to make it, it wouldn't have mattered what winds were blowing, what cracks were in the airplane. I would have known that I would have made it. Therefore, I wouldn't have had to be afraid. God says he has a destination for my life and for yours. And he says no matter what storm is raging, we don't have to sit white-knuckled on life's journey, wondering what the next thing is around the bend, wonder if we're going to make it, wonder if we're going to sink, if we're going to crash and burn. Because God has given us this certainty, Christians. God is trustworthy. He never comes too late with too little when we need him, and he will never allow his plans for us to crash and burn. That's from his heart, and we can stake our lives on it. Listen to the words of the psalmist. "Listen to me, you whom I've upheld since you were conceived and carried since your birth. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I've made you, I'll carry you, I'll sustain you, and I'll rescue you." Trusting God as our refuge and strength to the point we're delivered from fear boils down to a choice. We can continue complaining to God about how unfair our life is, focus on our problems, sit white-knuckled through life, miss the joy of living, of being fully alive. Or today we can trust that God is with us in the midst of our needs And even if he doesn't take your problem away, his presence is enough to help you make it through the night. Last week, I learned an interesting fact behind the scenes of that great movie of the 60s, Ben-Hur. Maybe you remember it. There was an exciting chariot race in it. Charlton Heston, I learned, had trouble learning how to drive a chariot for the picture. And after much work, he went to the director and said, "You know, I think I can drive the chariot, but I'm not sure I can win the race." And the director responded wisely, "You just stay in the race, and I'll make sure you win." What I challenge you today is, God is saying, no matter what's happening in your life, you just stay in the race. I'll make sure you win. I'll make sure my plan is completed for you. I'll make sure the airplane reaches its destination. And so I want you today to exchange your fear and pessimism and despair related to that problem that's robbing you of joy this Mother's Day weekend for the confidence that God loves you, that He'll never forsake you, and from cradle to the grave, He has a plan for your life, and that plan is on schedule. Trust God's care, and He's going to give you a spring, a river inside of your souls, filling you with perfect peace.